From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you all so much. We got a great show for you today. Our guest today will be Carrie Brownstein, who in her young life has founded two rock bands and created and stars in the great sketch comedy show Portlandia. We invite listeners who already feel bad about their own lack of accomplishment to tune to another station while we talk to her, because it's not going to help. But before then, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Lisa Wong from Emeryville, California.
Oh, beautiful Emeryville. Do you live near Pixar?
I do, just a few blocks away, actually. They're really nice neighbors.
They are? Do you ever go over to borrow a cup of magic and joy?
Yes. Yes, they have the best magic and joy.
They really do. Well, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week, Lisa. First, say hello to a comedian performing at Stand Up Live in Phoenix, April 20th through the 22nd. Mr. Maz Jobrani is here.
Hi, Maz.
Hey, how are you?
I went to Cal, so I was right there.
Oh, woohoo.
Woo, go Bears.
Next, a comedian and a host here in Chicago on Vocalo.org, Mr. Brian Babylon is here.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Brian.
And a comedian performing in Napa, California, at the Napa Opera House on April 12th, Miss Paula Poundstone is here.
Hey, Lisa.
So, Lisa, you're going to start us off with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win the big prize, Carl's voice on your voicemail. You ready to go?
I am ready.
All right, here's your first quote.
This was a train wreck for the Obama administration.
That was legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin, calmly and coolly marveling at the wreckage as the Supreme Court considered what?
The individual mandate for the health care.
Wow, you're too smart even for us. We were just going to go with Obamacare, but that's fine. Yes, the individual mandate. You're right, the whole thing. It was... It was Woodstock for jurisprudence nerds. 3 days of argument and precedent. Except for supporters of the health care law, it was more like Altamont. At one point, Justice Scalia responded to arguments from the Solicitor General in favor of the law by coming down from the bench and stabbing him. This was the case of a lifetime for Solicitor General Donald Varelli, and he choked. I mean, he literally choked. Listen to him as he begins presenting his case.
Insurance has become the predominant means of paying for health care in this country. Insurance has become the predominant means of paying for health care in this country because this is a market in which
that will be the last time that Donald Varelli takes the cinnamon challenge right before oral argument.
That's terrible.
That was horrible.
How come they had a guy like that do it?
Yeah.
Well, this guy is the Solicitor General of the United States. He's supposed to be the best there is at this
now. Well, how did he get in there?
Maybe it's like an internship program.
Did you guys listen to the arguments? Because I did. It was really interesting because you don't normally get to hear it. And at one point, this guy, Varelli, the Solicitor General, was doing such a bad job of defending the law that the liberal justices, Kagan and Sotomayor and those guys, were interrupting to kind of help him out. They were like stage mothers with a junior high school son in the school play. It was like, come on, that's right. Invoke U.S. v. Lopez. Oh, good, yes, good job. So proud.
You know what? I think the Obama administration needs to do a total PR reboot. They need, like, all the madmen to come together and do an ad campaign and have, like, Tim Tebow be the new spokesman for Obamacare.
Change the image.
Yeah, change the image where he's like, Obamacare, it's cool, Tim Tebow.
That's all he needs to do.
All you need to do is try it. I mean, what do you have to lose? It's over, man.
it's so hard to pass a law. I mean, he wanted it, then Congress, now we... I'm from Iran originally, and we just say go. I mean, like the king goes...
Done.
Or the dictator.
Yeah.
Whatever, it's Khamenei care, or, you know, Ahmadinejad care.
It seems more efficient.
Boom.
Done.
Done. No debates.
Yeah.
You guys might have something there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Telling you. Dictatorships aren't that bad.
I have a really bad cough. Maybe I could argue
yeah,
before.
Yeah, you're good. That's all you need. All right, Lisa, here is your next quote.
This is my last election. After my election, I have more flexibility.
That was someone speaking to the president of Russia when he thought nobody else could hear him. Who was promising more flexibility once he got reelected?
That was President Obama.
It was. It was President Obama. And for Mr. Obama's enemies, their worst fears were confirmed this week when he was caught on a live mic making secret promises to the current Russian president, Dmitry Medvedev. Fortunately for Obama, at the last second, he decided not to speak to Mr. Medvedev in Russian.
You never know what those guys talk well when the mics are off.
I know.
What do you mean when the mics are off? We're filmed and microphoned all the time. How can anybody be that stupid, honestly? There has been just over and over again guys caught saying dumb stuff when the... And it's always the mic is still on.
Well, the problem is you can't even, like... I mean, you can't even text anymore because then people find... Then, you know, Medvedev would have been like, oh, he's been sexting me or whatever it is. It's hard to get secrets out now. That's what I'm trying to say.
What would an Obama sex text even read like?
Well, it's what he said. I'll be more flexible afterwards. Yeah.
That's funny. It would be.
You know what this means, though? It means that now that we know what his real feelings are, it means after he gets reelected, he's going to go full on Russian. He's going to, like, completely go over to their side. He's going to give Alaska back.
Well, you know
like,
what?
Hey, Sarah, you can see it now, huh?
If he goes full Russian, that means he's not Muslim, I guess.
That's
you
true.
Know, you know, so maybe if he, that maybe that will balance it out.
Wouldn't that be great if the reveal were that? Like, if you suddenly, like, exactly.
I'm in Russian the whole time.
Yeah. Good news was, wasn't born in Kenya. Bad news. Lisa, here is your last quote.
Mating and preying on each other are about the only two things on their mind down there. Pretty much like us.
That was movie director James Cameron talking about the animals he found where?
That would be at the bottom of the Mariana Trench.
You are good, whoa. Yes. The very bottom of the Mariana Trench. Movie director James Cameron descended to the deepest part of the ocean. It's called the Challenger Deep there in the Mariana Trench. He went in a submarine he designed and piloted himself. By strange coincidence, that forbiddingly deep ocean trench is the only place on Earth where they don't yet know about the re-release of Titanic in 3D. Cameron went down there to tell the primordial, lightless crustaceans that it's the must-see 15-year-old movie event of the year. Cameron, as you heard, said that, well, there's really not much down there that he could see. It looks like an empty seafloor. So he spent all this money just to see something he's seen many times before, sort of like how I felt seeing Avatar.
Wait till the real release 15 years from now.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah, in flat.
In flat.
I'd go see it in flat.
Does this guy build and make? He's just tricking out submarines?
Yeah.
Blowing his money on submarines?
Yeah, he's got enough money to do it.
That's how supervillains start, Peter. I'm trying to tell you. It starts with a rich guy building a submarine, then he wants a city down there.
Exactly.
Then he wants to take over the surface world.
Yep. Yes, yes, yes.
That's how it starts.
By the way, this really, if you're going to have a movie director do this sort of thing, deep sea exploration, this is the one you want. You don't want, like, Woody Allen. He'd be down there like, oh, I don't know, the pressure. I don't know. It's too much pressure. Carl, how did Lisa do in our quiz?
Lisa, congratulations. You had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your answering machine or voicemail.
Well done. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Brian, Mitt Romney has been trying to make people forget that he is really rich. His task got a little tougher this week when we learned that the new house he's building for himself in California will come complete with a what?
Elevator.
For?
His four-car garage that has two stories and an elevator.
Yes. He will have an elevator for his car.
Nice. Yes.
We know that Mr. Romney wants to help America to rise again, so he is starting with his pair of Cadillacs. The blueprints for his planned mansion in California reveal a massive basement, bigger than the house itself, that will complement Mr. Romney's primary residence, which is in a hollowed-out volcano. And there will be an elevator to whisk the cars to and from their luxurious underground garage, as well as a car bathroom, a car library, and an adorable car nursery painted with little blue and pink mufflers. What is it like to be in an elevator with a car? Are cars like us in an elevator? Do they sit with the headlights facing the front?
Yeah, they fake text.
Yeah. They don't make eye contact.
Like, yeah.
It's awkward. Usually when the door's open and there's a car in there, you go ahead.
And then if somebody admits some exhaust in there, you just gotta pretend.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Maz Jobrani, Paula Poundstone, and Brian Babylon. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you guys so much. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Bob Gumbrecht in Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Hey, Steamboat Springs is a beautiful place.
It is.
In north central Colorado. I've been there. How are things going there with the snow? Do you have enough, or have you had enough to ski?
It's getting pretty light.
Yeah.
Point.
It's getting kind of warm. Perhaps you can turn to some other industry, like going down mountains on skateboards, perhaps.
Yeah.
Roller skates, soapbox derby cars. Well, Bob, welcome to the show. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Bob's topic?
Damn you, Justin Bieber.
Astounding as it may be to hear, not everybody adores Justin Bieber. In fact, we heard about somebody who is a real beef with the Beeb. This week, our panelists are going to read you three ways the dreamy pop star has ruined someone's life. Guess that true story, you'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. Ready to play?
I am ready.
Let's hear from Maz Jobrani first.
Sometimes the Beeb can be such a boob. A few weeks back, for a joke, teen heartthrob Justin Bieber tweeted a phone number minus one digit and asked his 19 million followers to call me right now. Soon after, 81-year-old Dallas great-grandmother Dilsey Fleming began receiving constant calls from girls so eager to profess their love, they added a random digit to the number and started dialing. Justin, I know you're there. Call me. I love you so much, one fan said on Dilsey's voicemail. But Grandma Fleming is not impressed. I've had this number since 1966, she said. Besides, did the girl really think Justin was going to call her back? Get a life. And now Mr. Bieber is about to get served because Fleming is considering suing the young man. That, or she said she'll settle on concert tickets for her great-granddaughter, who is crazy about the singer, and who, by the way, never calls her grandmother. Not even to leave a message for the Beeb.
Bieber inspires a flood of phone calls to a befuddled grandmother. Your next story of a Bieber debacle comes from Brian Babylon.
All right, 15-year-old Molly LaBelle loves Justin Bieber. She'd do anything to meet him. And since that's not going to happen, she'll at least try to eat like him. That's why she bid all her allowance on a certified Justin Bieber half-eaten peanut butter and jelly sandwich on Bieber Bay, the all-Bieber auction site. By the time it arrived last Wednesday, the sandwich was 5 weeks old. But that didn't stop Molly from trying a little bite. And with that, the little girl contracted actual Bieber fever. This is the first case of what doctors are calling acute Bieber fever. They describe it as a combination of food mole and Justin Bieber saliva. Symptoms include fever and drowsiness. In Molly's case, it's also accompanied by screaming and uncontrollable shaking. But that's only because that's what happens every time someone says Justin Bieber.
All right, I believe it. An actual case of Bieber fever contracted from a Bieber sandwich. And your last story of someone even more annoyed by Justin Bieber than you are comes from Paula Poundstone.
Rod Lane was never a fan of Justin Bieber. Because I love music, explains Rod. But now that Bieber has delivered his baby, Lane finds him out and out annoying. Lane's 23-year-old wife, Michelle, unexpectedly went into an early labor on the side of the Santa Monica Freeway in Los Angeles. Who should pull up from the snarled traffic but Justin Bieber? It was nice of him to help, says Lane, but now my wife is obsessed with him. I hate the guy. She insisted on naming the baby Biebster. It could have been worse. She could have named him Never Say Never, which she says all the time now. Why couldn't it have been Katy Perry? Rod was at work, and I was on my way to a prenatal checkup with my doctor when my water broke. I couldn't believe it. I just had the car detailed. The 10 freeway was crawling. People kept flipping me off as I tried to get over. Just as I got to the shoulder, I see a black Ferrari, and Justin Bieber steps out, and I am not even kidding. It was Justin Bieber. I mean, Never Say Never. Justin Bieber delivered my baby. He called the police for me, but the baby couldn't wait. I guess she just wanted to get a look at him. He would tell me to push and then do this funky little dance move. The placenta was gross, said Bieber, but we were all placenta once.
All right, then, here are your choices. From Maz Jobrani, an errant tweet from Bieber floods a Texas grandmother with phone calls from desperate young girls. From Brian Babylon, the story of a real Bieber fever brought on by a Bieber sandwich that should not have been eaten but was. And from Paula Poundstone, a guy who will have to deal with Bieber for the rest of his life because Mr. Bieber delivered his child to the side of a freeway. Which of these is the true story of Bieber as curse?
Boy.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to go with the peanut butter and Bieber sandwich.
The peanut butter and Bieber sandwich.
Yeah.
That's, of course, Brian's story. All right. Well, we spoke to somebody who knew a little bit about this real case.
Her phone just won't stop ringing. It's girls, asking to speak to Justin Bieber, telling her, you know, I love you, Justin, I love you, and leaving, you know, message after message on her voicemail.
That was Natalie Solis, reporter with Fox 4 Dallas, Fort Worth, talking about the grandmother in Texas, one of a couple of people who were deluged with calls from Bieber's fans. So I'm afraid you did not, in fact, pick the right story. That would have been, of course, Maz's. However, you did win a story for Brian for his incredibly disgusting story of the peanut Bieber. Is it peanut butter and Bieber sandwich or peanut Bieber and jelly?
Oh, either way.
That'll work.
Either way, it's gross.
It's a made-up story, not a recipe.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for playing.
Great. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. And now the game where we ask people with many talents to use exactly none of them. So, Carrie Brownstein is and or was the founder, lead guitarist, and singer for Slater Kinney, the coolest band to come out of the Pacific Northwest. She's got another awesome band called Wild Flag. She's a writer, a music journalist, and she's the creator and star of the brilliant sketch comedy show Portlandia on IFC. It's now time to find out what she can't do. Carrie Brownstein, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
So I just want to say I am a huge fan of your show Portlandia. Can you describe it for people who don't know it?
If you don't know it, I suppose I would call it a sketch show. It's a comedy. It's a little bit absurd. It's a series of vignettes that all take place in Portland, but Portland is sort of a stand-in for certain parts of Chicago or Madison or Austin or Brooklyn, and it's me and Fred Armisen, who also happens to be on Saturday Night Live, and it's satirical and weird. It's definitely weird.
It's definitely weird.
Yeah.
It's sort of like you just make fun of like NPR listeners the whole show.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that
pretty
was
much
the pitch that we made to IFC.
In season one, there's the dumpster diving episode, and you make this noise of like concern, like Like, I think that's the funniest noise I ever heard in my life, because I work with somebody who makes that noise and I hate them. And thank you very much for helping me release the rage.
It'll be annoying. I will tell you, all right, this is, we're going to talk about favorite bits. My favorite bit is the couple you play where you play the man.
Oh, Peter, really?
I love that bit. It is so distressing. Because
that says a lot about you.
It does. You've got Fred playing the woman in a wig and a dress and sometimes negligee. You've got you playing the man in a mustache, sideburns, sleeveless t-shirt and boxer shorts. Where did you get that guy? Is he like some guy you've known?
No, I mean, yes and no, I guess I should say. So, I will say, as a woman, when you put a mustache on, you find out a lot of things about yourself.
Like, what did you... Give me some examples.
There's just a certain swagger. Now I know why men, you know, grow out the facial hair. Like, there was just a certain level of confidence, but also just a certain level of sleaziness.
Thank you. I'm this is Maz. I'm the only guy with facial hair, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, go for it, buddy.
Yeah, babe.
What about some of the guest stars? You guys had like Amy Mann cleaning your house.
Yeah, that was a great bit. It was like you and Fred discovered that your house cleaner is Amy Mann.
Right.
You guys just put offers out to these people, or what? How does that work?
Fred and Amy have been friends, and she is, you know, not only an amazing musician, but kind of known for sort of seamlessly going back and forth between music and comedy. She also was just... A lot of these people just kind of want an opportunity to make fun of themselves or have a moment that displays some levity that they might not show in their music. But I really did have a... For a while, I had somebody that came to clean my house that turned out to be in a band that I really loved.
Oh, really? That's based on truth? So, like, you're looking at the guy cleaning your house, you're like, oh, I have your records?
Yes. I absolutely had their record. And they're, you know, I mean, it's hard when you want somebody's autograph to also want them to clean your toilet better.
Speaking of bands, after Slater-Kinney broke up and then went on hiatus, you actually took a job for a while at an ad agency?
I did do that, yeah, for 6 months.
Why did you? I mean, just, you were like, oh wow, you've been a rock star for God knows how long. You know, it's time to pursue your dream of working in a cubicle.
Well, in some ways, you know, I had sort of the opposite experience of other people that are sort of dreaming of being in a rock band. I was dreaming of like corporate lunches and just like, and I'm not really joking. Like the whole idea to me was really appealing. But it turns out I'm not very good at working with a traditional boss.
Really? How did you find that out? What happened?
Well, we went to like you said, I was in a rock band for a while, and we had a company meeting, and the first thing that the head of the company said at the meeting was, "This is rock and roll." Ah. And I just thought, you know what? It's not.
So when you failed in your dream of being an office drone, did you have to go back to the drudgery of the show business?
Well, no. Then you know where I went after that was NPR.
Yeah, you were. I know. What? Oh man, when you've hit bottom. That's terrible. I'm so sorry. Yeah, you were a very popular blogger for NPR Music, right? You were doing a your blog was called Monitor Mix.
And I loved it.
I just find it like from rock star to advertising office drone to NPR blogger. I would say you were going the wrong way. And I have one more question for you. This is from our intern, Kate Casey, who's a big fan of yours, and she insisted I ask you this question. Carrie Brownstein, why are you so awesome?
Wow, it's weird when my parents write in and ask questions like that. I'm so not awesome. I don't know what the opposite, you know, if there's like an unawesome. But anyway, thanks. That's such an intern question.
It
by
is.
Way.
She's right here.
Put on the mustache and you'll feel awesome.
Yeah, if she puts on that mustache, she can answer that question.
Yeah, no, that's right. Is that why you're wearing a mustache?
To be awesome.
Goatee, the whole thing.
Oh, well, you have a goatee. You have a goatee as well. I'm glad this is radio.
And I'm bald.
Wait, Did Peter just say that? Or?
No, no, that was...
We're both bald.
Yeah. Everybody's bald.
Yeah, everybody's bald, pretty much. Well, Kerry Brownstein, we're delighted to have you with us. We've asked you to play a game we're calling...
You're not in Portland anymore.
So you're a proud and vocal resident of Portland, known for its permissive lifestyle. So we were looking around for the diametrical opposite of Portland, and we came up with the famously rigid city-state of Singapore. So we're going to ask you three questions about Singapore. If you get two right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners. Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who was Kerry Brownstein playing for?
Kerry is playing for John Murphy of Maywood, Illinois.
All right.
All right.
Ready to play?
I am. I want to do well by John.
All right. Here we go. Many things will draw a fine in Singapore, or Singaporea, I guess, including doing what? A, slouching while walking down the street, B, failing to flush a public toilet, or C, making smacking noises while eating?
Huh. I'm going to go with the middle one, with B.
The failing to flush a public toilet?
Yes.
You're right. Yes, that's it. They care a lot about this in Singapore. And if you don't flush the toilet after you use it, you will be fined.
I wish they did that at Soldier Field.
There you are. See? It's not so bad.
I really
Getting
do.
Back to the theme of dictatorships having their place.
Yep.
Yes.
Now, there are some things that are allowed in Singapore, but you have to get permission first, such as which of these? A, hugging someone in public. B, singing within the earshot of other people. Or C, having a nap in a public park.
Huh. So I feel like it's between the nap and, was the first one hugging?
Hugging, yes.
I'm going to go with the public nap.
You're going to go with the public nap? They need permission before you can have a nap, lie down, have a little snooze?
Well, wait, what was B? I feel like it wasn't B.
B was singing within the earshot of other people.
I mean, that makes sense, but how can you control that? I'm going to stick with public napping.
Public napping. No, I'm afraid it was hugging someone.
Oh, wow.
Hugging someone. In Singapore, it is illegal to hug someone in public if you do not get permission from them first. May I hug you? Yes, you may.
Is it written permission?
Oh, I thought you meant permission from someone else.
No.
Me too. We need a do-over on that one.
Yeah, that was hazy.
The Office of Hugging? You gotta, like, submit your application?
Exactly.
Weeks ahead of time.
It may not matter, because if you get this last one right, you'll win. Here we go. Now, Singapore's one-time supreme leader, Lee Kuan Yew, was once asked about Singapore's famous ban on chewing gum. You all know that, right?
Yeah.
Chewing gum in Singapore. Well, he said people who want to chew gum should do what? A, swim half a mile offshore and chew all you want. B, try a banana. C, get a life.
Wow. I mean, get a life seems like a phrase. No, I'm going to go with, I think, and this seems like a healthy option, is to chew a banana.
Try a banana?
Yeah, to try a banana.
You're right. That's what he said. He was interviewed.
Nice.
In 2000, after he retired from running Singapore, and he was asked about people who like to chew gum to aid their concentration, and he replied, quote, if you want to think, try a banana. Carl, how did Kerry Brownstein do in our quiz?
Kerry, you had two correct answers, so you win for John Murphy.
Well done. Nice. Congratulations.
There you go.
So your band Wild Flag is about to start its U.S. tour, which is fabulous, and Portlandia is in its second season on IFC. Everybody should go see it. It's absolutely fantastic and funny. Kerry Brownstein, thank you so much for joining us.
It's great.
So great to talk to you.
All right, you
can
take it.
Bye-bye.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Brian Babylon, Paula Poundstone, and Maz Jobrani. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. In just a minute, Carl asks McDonald's to stop using pink slime in their burgers in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Paula, the Supreme Court hearings this week look like bad news for Obamacare, but it seemed to be very good for what industry? Makers of what?
Geez. I have no idea.
Well, it was because Justice Scalia kept saying everybody would be forced to eat it.
Was it big for broccoli?
It was big for broccoli, yes.
Oh,
biggest week for broccoli in a long time.
I'm so happy for them.
Critics of Obamacare say that if the government has the right to make you buy health insurance, it has the right to make you do anything, and the example they always use is the right to make you eat broccoli. And apparently the fear of a federal broccoli enforcement agency has made it to the Supreme Court, where Justice Scalia first raised the specter of a broccoli mandate.
Is that a bad thing? I mean, roughage? Is that bad?
Well, no, it's not bad for you, but maybe a government that forced you to eat it would be...
Well, it depends on if they're smashed into my mouth. That's not good. I mean, if they're giving me, you know, dainty bites, I'm okay with that.
And just the tops.
I don't like the chunk part.
My boy's the same. Why is it nobody likes the bottoms?
No,
because I'm a giant and I'm eating trees.
Legal issues aside, broccoli growers are enjoying the attention their product is now getting, and this will pave the way to future product placement in the Supreme Court. So Justice Scalia would be like, if they can make you buy health insurance, what's to stop them from making you buy the 2012 Nissan Versa?
Oh, man.
Maz, you've probably heard about the recent uproar about pink slime, the ammonia-treated beef filler that's been showing up in hamburger meat. Well, now the makers of pink slime are reacting to the negative publicity by doing what?
Dyeing the slime a different color?
No. Well, it's like a horrible meat-like product by any other name still smells as gross.
Oh, so they're giving it another name.
Yes, they're calling it something else is what they're going to do.
Plime.
Yes. Lean, finely textured beef.
Ooh la la.
That's what they want you to call it.
Oh, wow.
Lean?
The company says that that's what it's called. It's called lean, finely textured beef. It's made by Beef Products Incorporated.
Well, who started calling it pink slime?
An FDA inspector referred to it as pink slime.
Is it gluten-free?
I don't know.
And I don't know.
So they're reacting to all this negative publicity because of the name pink slime. They fought back with a campaign highlighting all the jobs at the factory where the stuff is processed. That's right. It's not an awful abomination in the eyes of all that's holy. It's a job creator.
Can you see Obama on the campaign trail at the pink slime factory? We've got those guys over here making pink slime. And
it's American pink slime.
He makes pink slime.
Wow, that is good.
Oh. Brian, workers at a company in Lithuania voted to strike this week, but the government intervened. They said the workers are essential to the well-being and safety of the people of Lithuania. What do these workers make?
Is it something that couples need in...
No.
Okay. All right. I want to win. Give me a light baby clue.
A baby clue? This strike neither tastes great nor is it less filling.
Oh, beer.
Yes. Beer. They make beer.
Yes. I had to do that.
Workers at the Carlsberg factory in Lithuania had tried to walk out over a pay dispute, but the courts stopped them. They put beer in the same legal category as medicine and drinking water.
Wow.
So, right, they're essential to the well-being of Lithuania. The production must be maintained. And beer is particularly essential when the medicine and drinking water run out.
Hold on, what's that face?
I wanted you to do Obama. Tell the beer workers
you ready?
To get back
yeah,
to work.
You're going to get back in there. You're going to make that Carlsberg beer.
That's good. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. You can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and check out our How to Do Everything podcast this week, how to fix that iPhone you just dropped in the toilet. You know who you are. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
This is Marissa from Asheville, North Carolina.
Hey, Asheville, a great place, one of my favorite cities.
Oh, I love it too. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And what do you do there?
I am a marriage and family therapist.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
So I work mostly with children and families doing family counseling.
Do you ever like snap in the middle of a session with a client and go, "What the hell is wrong with you?" That's just
there
nuts.
There was a time, let me tell you this, there was a time, I actually went to grad school at NIU, and there was a time where I was sitting in session with a client, and they were telling me a problem, and I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God, this person needs a therapist, and then I go, oh my God, that's me. So, yeah.
And you knew they were in good hands, too, so...
I was in training. I can say that was probably a normal thought to have as a new therapist.
I can imagine. Well, Marissa, welcome to the show. Carl Castle is going to perform for you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you will be a winner. Ready to play?
Yes, I'm excited.
Here,
and I have to tell you,
yes.
I'm 36 weeks pregnant, and my baby is so excited it's kicking.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So when do you do?
When am I due? On Earth Day, April 22nd.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. You're almost there? Is this
yes,
your first?
Yes, I'm almost there. It is.
Oh, wow. That's very exciting.
Amazing. It is so exciting and a little nerve-wracking. But, yes, so the baby is kicking away right now. So if I don't get any of the answers right, it's the baby's fault.
Okay.
Tell the baby to wait, don't kick me.
Exactly.
Here is your first limerick.
Okay.
When Olympians visit the Queenie... We can't have on things that are teeny. Decorum off screams at beach volleyball teams. So this time we'll lose the...
Queenie, teeny, teeny. Can you do that one again, Carl?
Yeah. Sure. When Olympians visit the Queenie, we can't have on things that are teeny. Decorum off screams at beach volleyball teams. So this time, we'll lose the...
Bikini?
Yes. Due to concerns... due to concerns from countries more modest than we are, the London Olympic Games announced that female beach volleyball athletes will not be required to wear the familiar bikinis, but instead can wear gym shorts and T-shirts in competition. And with that, every man on Earth stopped pretending to care about beach volleyball. Here is your next limerick.
Want a taco? I'll pick up the phone. Through the window it soon will be flown. Our new wartime tech keeps my hunger in check. It's delivered by small unmanned...
I want to say phone, but...
No. It's a high-tech thing. It's unmanned. It flies.
Drone?
Yeah!
Did you say drone? Yes, drone. Very good.
Whoa.
Finally, the Taco Copter is here. It's a helicopter drone developed by some nerds in California. Just place your order in your smartphone, and moments later, tacos will drop from above. It's delivered by a drone helicopter. The bad news is it's illegal. FAA guidelines ban the use of drones for non-military purposes. Your only choice is to get your mouth classified as an enemy combatant.
Nah, Peter, I need us to revisit that. I'm digging this drone thing.
Really?
Well, what if it's got to be military operation? What if on the way to bombing somebody, they drop the tacos?
Drop a few tacos or something. Wow. Is this in California?
Something on the way.
Is this something in California?
Well, some guys in California thought it up, but it turns out they can't do it. Because
what do you mean they thought it up? Everybody thought it up a long time ago. How many times have you been like, geez, I wish I had a taco? And you know what? I don't feel like going to get it. Wouldn't it be great if an unmanned drone dropped it?
Iran got a drone and wouldn't give it back.
Really?
Oh, that's right.
And Obama asked for it. Go ahead.
I need to get that drone back from him.
All right, how about Obama ordering a taco? Go.
Let me get two hard shells with taco and chicken. No, make a steak. Make a steak.
Oh, my gosh. That's
funny. Here is your last limerick.
I think Jaden's all turn out the same. It felt fresh then, but now it's just lame. It had so much hype. But he's just not the type. I regret that we gave him that...
Name?
Yes, name! Very good! Parents According to psychologists, a disorder known as baby name regret is on the rise. All of a sudden, you realize that maybe Laser Blast Cyclone may not have been the best name for your baby girl. Experts say it's caused by the baby name books, which offer too many choices, postpartum hormones, and the fact that you're Jay-Z and Beyonce. Carl, how did Marissa do in our quiz?
Marissa had a perfect game, Peter. Marissa, woo! 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done. Nice. Congratulations.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. Good luck with the baby.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. He said, now you just fought one hell of a fight, and I know you hate me and you got the right to kill me now, and I wouldn't blame you if you do. But you ought to thank me before I die for the gravel in your guts and the spit in your eye, because I'm the that named you Sue.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Brian Babylon has the lead, Peter. He has 4 points. Paula Poundstone has 3. Maz Jobrani, 2.
All right, Maz, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill-in-the-blank. Illinois Representative Bobby Rush was asked to leave the House floor Wednesday for wearing a blank in support of Trayvon Martin.
Hoodie.
Right. Arab leaders held a summit on Thursday to discuss whether to back Kofi Annan's plan to end violence in blank.
Syria.
Right. A JetBlue Airways plane was forced to make an emergency landing on Tuesday after the blank had a meltdown.
Pilot.
Right. Although it had no chance of passing the Senate, on Thursday the House passed the GOP leadership's blank plan.
The economic... The budget.
Yes, thank you. A delivery of medical marijuana was stolen in California this week by a pair of blank.
Pair of shoes.
Pair of ninjas. On Tuesday.
It was marijuana. It could have been shoes.
It's true. On Tuesday, a group that includes former Laker star Magic Johnson bought the blank for $2 billion.
Dodgers.
Yes. A Colorado woman is recovering after a man shot at her when he thought blank.
When he thought she was an enemy of the state.
No, when he thought that her hairdo was a bird. There's a bad hair day, and then there's this. The man thought the woman's hairstyle was the bird he'd seen harassing his cat, so he decided to take care of it with his gun. To be fair, she had a red mohawk, which has the word hawk in it. Carl, how did Maz do in our quiz?
He had 5 correct answers for 10 more points, and Maz now has 12 points and the lead.
All right, then. Well done. All right, Paulie, you're up next. Please fill in the blank. As part of his tour of Latin America, on Wednesday, blank met with Fidel Castro.
The Pope!
Yes. This week, the U.S. paid $860,000 to the families of villagers killed by a rogue soldier in blank.
Afghanistan.
Right. This week, an independent labor audit of the Chinese factories which make blank products found multiple violations.
Apple.
Right. In danger of strangulation, a 2-year-old British basset hound named George saved his own life by blanking.
Calling the police.
Yes, he did. He dialed 911, or 999 in Britain. On Monday, tennis star Martina Navratilova became the first star eliminated on this season's blank.
Dancing with the Stars.
Right. After Nike sued, Reebok has been temporarily blocked from selling any New York Jets-related merchandise with the name blank on it.
Tebow.
Right. Video posted online this week shows a Canadian man arrested for DUI being driven in the back of a squad car, blanking.
Drinking.
No. Singing Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody in its entirety.
All right.
That's awesome.
You have the right to remain silent, but not the obligation. So, next time you're arrested and thrown in the back of a cruise car, make like this drunk Canadian and spend the 6-minute ride to the police station doing this.
Nah. I see a little silhouette of a man. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, we do the Fandango. Thunderbolts of lightning.
Honestly, if I'm not mistaken, this was how Justin Bieber was discovered. So we expect big things for drunk Canadian guy. Carl, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Paula had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. She now has 15 points, and Paula has the lead.
All right, so how many does Brian need to win?
6 correct answers.
All right. Here we go, Brian. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. Last weekend, former Vice President blank underwent heart transplant surgery.
Cheney.
Right. Arriving in South Korea for a global nuclear security summit, last Sunday, blank spent time viewing the demilitarized zone.
Hillary Clinton.
No, President Obama. Man. Governor John Hickenlooper suspended prescribed burns after wildfires blazed out of control in blank.
Colorado.
Right. This week, Senator Marco Rubio and President George H.W. Bush announced they were endorsing blank for president.
Mitt Romney.
Yeah. In a speech in Iowa, Vice President Joe Biden meant to thank one Dr. Teresa Paper, but instead said blank.
Paper, rock, scissors.
No, said... said, thank you, Dr. Pepper. A new study for the Centers of Disease Control this week showed that the number of children diagnosed with blank is rising.
Asthma?
Autism, making $155 million in its opening weekend. The movie Blank had the third highest domestic debut of all time.
Hunger Games?
Right. Britain's Queen Elizabeth made headlines this week when she blanked in Manchester.
Fainted.
No, when she crashed a wedding. John and Frances Canning were just finishing up their nuptials at Manchester Town Hall when who should walk in but Queen Elizabeth? And Prince Philip. They were hungry. They wanted some free food. In town, an official royal business. The royals let down their hair, chatted with the bride and groom, and posed for photographs with delighted guests. The whole scene was simply charming until Prince Philip was spotted stuffing canapes down his pants. Carl, did Brian do well enough to win?
He needed 6 correct answers, but Brian had just 4 correct answers. So with 15 points, Paula Poundstone.
Hey!
Well done.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists what we will learn that James Cameron found at the deepest spot on the ocean floor. But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. And to the National Association of Realtors and Advocate for Homeownership, more at houselogic.com/homeownership. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions' Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Goedeke writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Jessica McLeod. Our intern is Kate Casey. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Larchick and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. B.J. Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Waltrover and Emily Ecton. With special thanks this week to Blythe Haga. Technical directors from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. Thanks also to Gary Yek. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what did James Cameron find down there? Maz Jobrani.
The Verizon wireless guy.
Brian Babylon.
I'm going to go with Jack from Titanic.
And Paula Poundstone.
Very shy fish.
Well, if James Cameron found any of that panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Maz Jobrani, Brian Babylon, and Paula Poundstone. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. And we will see you next week. This is NPR.